Hello, ladies
Love
and gentlemen.
Talk Radio.
And ladies and gentlemen, no, it's not that. However, it's always nice to have Godzilla come in and Chewbacca come join in the studios. Hey, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Tackling Tuesday to you all, wherever you may be, anywhere in the world. I am your host with the most, the FRL icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. This is the FRL Headquarters Podcast. You know, and today is a quick episode. I'm not going long today because very important stuff. I'm going to attempt to do something I've been trying to do for a little while, and I'm going to attempt to do a show on YouTube, a wrestling show on YouTube, live during, give people an alternative to wrestling on my YouTube channel. So for those interested in seeing what I can do and what I do normally, please head over to FRL. Hold on one second. I can tell you right now what my YouTube channel is. You would think I would know this, right? All the times I've been YouTube. All right. So my channel is Jazz4L on YouTube. And you can see this live broadcasting that I'm going to do. This should be pretty exciting. I don't know what exactly I'm going to do for set matches. I'm probably going to begin around, probably about 9:30 or so, go for about an hour, do a couple matches. Again, this is a test to see. One, will it be entertaining enough? Two, would fans appreciate it? And three, will it suffice? If so, then this is what we were doing prior. And for our many loyal fans around the world, I think this is something that people have been waiting for a little while. This is something we've promised our fans for a long time. And I'm just happy that we can finally bring this to you guys, if I can. And, this should be pretty exciting. That's tonight. But what I want to do right now is I want to backtrack for a little bit. I want to talk about something we just went through on our show. And we talk about traditions, right? And we talk about, on our YouTube show that my son and I started years ago. I've told the story many times how it started. So I won't bore you with those details yet again. But what I will do is tell you about, the various different stages that our show has been part of. So our show was started out as me and my son doing this stuff together, these dream matches, to see who was better than who, has really transcended into something completely different. It has actually grown into being, something that has, both inspired people from all walks of life and from various different stages. It has also given me a platform outside of this podcast to show the world these amazing real-life dream masters and women warriors of various different things and the amazing things they do. And that's ultimately what this show has transcended and become in its time. But I do believe in traditions, and I do believe in, our fan base that goes back to way back when. I think it's kind of safe to say that it should be expected, I suppose, that we keep some of those same tournaments and the same kind of, fan favorite type of events intact. Over the summer, we always have our open tag team and duo tournament. Ultimately, it was really way back when it was to decide who the greatest tag team and duo of all time is. back when we were doing the Dream Masters thing and the who was better than who things. Because, I mean, there's many different, you know, duos and tag teams in the years. And then, you know, we decided to open it up to everything rather than take just the greatest wrestling people or the greatest bands or the greatest comic book teams or, you know, what have you. We decided to open it up, and we had an open tag team invitational that was open to any tag team and duo. And over the years, we've had teams participate, such as Batman and Robin, the dynamic duo. The World's End, which is a fan favorite, even though they're the kind of bad guy wrestlers, they're heels. The World's End is the team consisting of Bane and Doomsday. They are the World's End collectively. We've also had the likes of a team called Fire and Ice, in which Ed Boon really enjoyed, because that the team Fire and Ice consisted of Scorpion and Sub-Zero, really before anyone really gave them a name per se or even put them together. My son and I put them together a long time ago and called them Fire and Ice, and of course now they're called Fire and Ice, which is awesome. And it makes the most sense. And they've been part of our tag team tournaments for years, as well as Deadpool and the Punisher, which is kind of like the opposites of track kind of a thing. Deadpool is someone who likes to make a lot of jokes, is very animated, likes to talk. Punisher doesn't like to talk and is complete opposite of Deadpool. The only thing they actually have in common is the fact that they both have really no hesitation, nor do they have any issue with dishing out the whatever punishment they decide is worthy. And they also are not afraid to go off the cuff once in a while. The other thing that they, you know, we talk about the opposites, though, a lot of people don't know that Deadpool is actually from Canada. He is a Canadian superhero, where the Punisher is, of course, a former United States military officer. Therefore, he is a United States citizen, even if he feels that he is kind of abandoned by his countrymen. Since, you know, we all know the backstory. Hopefully you guys know the backstories of these characters. And, you know, I think what I'm going to do tomorrow, where it's midweek check-in tomorrow, I know a lot of, this may or may not interest a lot of people, but you know what? There's a lot of various different things out there. I would rather make sure you guys know what the real stories are behind these characters that you're learning about and seeing in these movies now. And I think one of the things you might find is that some of the superheroes in the films in which you guys enjoy may not actually be what you believe them to be, so to speak. You know, when it comes to the Punisher and the Deadpool, we can go into deep dive in people like that. And, you know, a lot of people who believe Deadpool to be my favorite comic book character, they would be wrong. My favorite comic book character I've always stood by is the Punisher. And it's not because he's a superhero, because he is not a hero at all. He's what they call an anti-hero. In all honesty, the Punisher was someone who he felt wronged by justice, and he didn't feel like justice was served when his family was slain by the mob, so to speak. Depending on which variation of the Punisher series you see, whether it be comic books or movies, it's kind of the same kind of tragic backstory. His family is basically gone. I think the movie with Thomas Jane is probably my favorite of all of the Punisher adaptations. And that might get a lot of people upset with the Punisher TV series. It was on Netflix. And I'm going to tell you why I have an issue with that, even though the Punisher is my favorite comic book character. If I don't like the character or the actor portraying the character, then I'm completely out of the series altogether. And, you know, so for that reason alone, I couldn't endorse the Punisher TV series because I wasn't overly fond of the person portraying the Punisher. But, you know, I got to say this also. The reason I don't like that actor, which was played by John Balthol, I believe his name is. And John, I'm sure, did a great job playing Frank Castle, who is a tormented war veteran, tormented by his past, and Naval SEAL Ops is what the Frank Castle is enlisted with. But what it is, you know, my issue with the actor himself is he portrayed another character extremely well, so well, in fact, that I can't stand him as a person. I know that sounds mean. That basically what that means is he did his job well. That's honestly what it comes down to, because I can't see him past that character he was when he was Shane in The Walking Dead. I never enjoyed the character of Shane in the comic book series, nor in the TV series. And Jonathan Bothello, or whatever his name was, he has the distinction of playing him in the first and second season. And that's kind of where my issues start with. I didn't enjoy him there. So of course that was why I wasn't able to enjoy him in The Punisher. Thomas Jane was someone who I didn't know as of yet when I saw the Punisher TV in the Punisher movie that came out in like maybe 2009, maybe. It wasn't too long ago, but it was definitely better than the 80s version of The Punisher, starring everyone's favorite bad Russian, Dolph Lundgren. Dolph Lundgren is a really awesome guy. I want to point that out. I've had the luxury and the honor of, you know, talking with him and meeting him in person. Really nice guy, Dolph Lundgren, but he's not The Punisher. In all honesty, they had a follow-up to the Thomas Jane Punisher called The War Machine, which those of you who are familiar with the comic book series know that that was an extension to, or Warzone was an extension of the Punisher series, which was also Frank Castle. But what they did is, instead of keeping Thomas Jane, who I thought did a great job as the character, they got Ray Stevens in instead. And as much as I, you know, I appreciate his last name and all and whatnot, it was a different feel to it. I didn't enjoy it as much. That's kind of my thing. But that's The Punisher. But I wanted to talk about, you know, that's kind of where I was getting into talking about, you know, the various different people in our tag team tournament, the Dream Masters Open Tag Team Tournament that my son and I have been doing for years. This, we started this year's tournament on the 4th of August. It's a summertime tradition. And it completed, and it got done. It ended a couple of weeks ago, actually on the 14th, so a couple of days ago, really. Was the finals of that. We had a lot of teams take place, and I don't show you guys every single matchup because I basically show you guys the kind of the final rounds of each, because I feel like it gets kind of repetitive if you see the same kinds of things. But I have to say there were a couple standout performances done in this tag team tournament this year. And they, you know, I really think that our characters who we base our models after, the models we base our characters after are, I think the characters are just so much like the people they're modeled after that they just soak up their personality and their work ethic and their drive, because there was some amazing matches in this tag team tournament this year. Some big surprises. And one of the things we wanted to, I was really proud about, and shout out to JoJo the Bodybuilder and Philip Ricardo Jr. Both of them, in fact, because if you guys remember, Philip Ricardo was on my show a couple weeks ago. He is the natural bodybuilding champion, and he's runs his Ricardo's Legends, various different bodybuilding competitions. And JoJo is one of the many, many people that he has mentored in real life to becoming Mr. Olympia and become the best in that genre. Well, JoJo, who's also been a guest on this show, and you guys are familiar with me talking about JoJo from our show. Well, with me and Philip, what I decided to do is, as kind of a reward for JoJo, JoJo is an amazing young man who really puts a lot into everything he's doing. He has a lot of drive. Even when he was on as a guest on the show, we had him on here, he talked about how he is kind of, this is what he wants to do, and he is his own person. He doesn't let everything else affect him, and he has just grown literally and physically, and he is serious about these things, and he's achieving all of these things. We're proud of JoJo. So as a surprise to him, Philip Ricardo Jr. found out about the wrestling stuff that we were talking about. Turns out, as you guys heard on the podcast here, Philip Ricardo is a fan of wrestling as much as wrestling is a fan of bodybuilding. It's kind of like a mutual respect to both genres, really. So from what I understand, I haven't actually got the full report from Philip Ricardo yet, but JoJo had no idea that Philip and I, Mr. Ricardo and I, were planning on having a surprise for JoJo. The surprise, of course, was JoJo was going to be part of the tag team tournament this year, and he was. Now, remember, JoJo was a former F4L Icon tag team champion, so he does have experience. In fact, JoJo, out of the entire roster, is the only Grand Slam champion among everybody. That means that JoJo has held every single male title that there is to hold at least once. And that is a Grand Slam champion in wrestling. And that is what JoJo has accomplished. There are some others that are coming close to that. And there are many that are right up there with him. And a lot of them were involved in this tournament. But JoJo, because he's been working so hard or whatever, I had built Philip Ricardo Jr. as a actual car. So by the way, for those people who are interested, the official Philip Ricardo Jr. wrestling character is available in the creation suite. So you guys can go grab him on WWE 2K22, built by yours truly. And he is a natural bodybuilding champion and a really great guy. And sure, I'll tell you, It always kind of makes me feel kind of makes me happy when I see people get so excited when they see something they do on our YouTube show and they turn it into being something bigger than they treat it like it's an actual competition. And I appreciate that because ultimately that's how I try to keep the kayfabe. That's how I try to keep it in general. Philip Ricardo was so excited about all of this, and he watched all of the matches, and JoJo and Philip Ricardo became the team known as Ricardo's Legends, and they got all the way to the finals of the final brackets, which took place on the 14th. Unfortunately, they came up a little short. But you know what? That's only the beginning. But they went and defeated three other teams in their bracket. So basically what we did it is all of these teams I'm talking about, in order to get to the final on the 14th, you had to win your bracket. So we broke it into stages. So stage one was won by, of course, the current BA Tag Team Champions, Mason the Beast and Carter the Cobra Stritzel. And they had won the first round with very impressive matches and very dominating performances by those two young men. And then in round two, surprise, surprise, it's been a long time since, CM Punk and I have teamed up together. We were in wrestling. We were the original Straight Edge Society and Ring of Honor. That was the name of our tag team back then. That was before, really, he went on to do big things and I went on to do whatever else. But we also had that bond where we don't believe in drugs and alcohol and so forth. And that was kind of what we were about. And that was where the Straight Edge Society was. So after many years of being away from being tag team. I said, you know, we're going to put it in this tournament. And, of course, we took round two, CM Punk and I, being the Shredded Society, the original Shredded Society. And, of course, round three went to the current Telenet Tag Team Champions, Henry and Hiro Mena. You want to talk about two amazing young men who like to evolve and innovate? Well, you know, I think that the Pitbull, Hiro Mena, really has a knack for this tournament stuff, because two tournaments we've had that they've been part of, and he has ended in the finals of every single one. That's impressive. And, of course, this one, he was joined by his brother, and, again, they had a great performance. Not only did they win their stage, they went all the way to the finals of the whole tournament, and that's something that is, when you look at all the amazing teams that would have to beat, you know, to have to overcome, it was an amazing thing to see. But Henry and Hiro Mena, unfortunately, came up a little short in the end to the returning Gabe and Austin of the Father Son Fist Bump podcast, their former United States Tag Team Champions. And they were actually the United States Tag Team Champions before the Blood Brothers, who actually took their titles, and actually are the reason why all of the matches took place in Providence. For those people who don't remember, back at the end of July, I had a show where the main event was during our watch along as well, where the four teams, whichever team won, would be where the tag team tournament would take place. And of course, the Blood Brothers representing Providence and being the current United States Tag Team Champions, they had won. In order to win, they had to defeat the Schritzel Fight Club, who were representing St. Louis, Missouri. The Henry and Hiro Mena, the Mena Boys, representing San Antonio, Texas. And, of course, the lucky ones, Jack and Tim, representing the good old UK. They're their Monday Night Rocking Tag Team Champions. So the Blood Brothers, pulling up the biggest win ever and defeated all three of the other teams and had the opportunity to have it in Providence in the hometown. That didn't mean that they went one at all either. But the other thing that was impressive to see is the Adel Boys return to action. Mason, the Hammer, Anthony, the Submission Hunter, Adel, representing the Adel Boys. If you guys remember, they were the BA Tag Team Champions for a little while on our show until the World's End showed up. And that was back when it was Mason and Ty, the Devil Adel, who were the Tag Team Champions then. Unfortunately, Bane and Doomsday, the World's End, returned and defeated the Adels. And after a typical thing by the World's End, they put poor Ty on the shelf. But his older brothers came back for revenge, and boy, did they. When you talk about storyline things you can't write, Mason and Anthony Adel representing the Adel Boys in round four. Round five, the Adels represented. And what happened was, they had to defeat one team, which I don't remember who that was. But I can tell you this, the people that they had to defeat next was the World's End. And the World's End were the ones who put their younger brother on the shelf. You want to talk about bittersweet revenge or bittersweet, really trying to get back into the swing of things. That's the best way to do it. And Anthony and Mason Adel defeated them. Not only did they do that, but they won round five and advanced to the finals on the 14th, as did the Strix of Flight Club, the Mena Boys, myself, and CM Punk, as well as Philip Ricardo Jr. and JoJo the Bodybuilder for round four. That's who they took that round. They are the Ricardo's Legends. And the Blood Brothers, because they won the tournament, they won the match, they got a bye into the finals in their hometown, so they were already there. And then we just had to have a couple bonus matches off-site for the other two teams. Of course, the other two teams being Well, the one team was Fire and Ice, who made their return as well as part of the team every year. Deadpool and the Punisher, who I mentioned earlier, were also part of this year's event and also did very well. And last but not least, because unfortunately my friend CM Punk got injured, we had pulled ourselves out of the tournament to open it up to somebody else. And of course, that was the Ministry, which was Cosplay Jesus and Father Evil, who took over that spot. So, which is why the finals looked the way they did. But in the end, it came down to the Father Son Fist Bump podcast and Henry and Hiro Menya, the Telenet Tag Team Champions. You want to talk about the set-up matches before that? Great matches. All of these matches were top-notch what tag team wrestling should be in both real life and on our show, and I'm very proud of everybody in all the teams that took place. Putting on a wrestling clinic, really, most of them. Tonight on YouTube, I don't exactly know what... what we're going to be doing. Basically, we're going to do a few matches here and there. Again, it's going to be done the same way as always. It's going to be live, so what you're going to see is exactly as it's going on. And again, you'll also know that we will not have any control of the outcomes, no matter what the matches are that take place tonight. So be excited that tonight we're going to have some bonus matches. I want to let people know that we do have a bigger show on the 24th of August, because the way I'm going to normally do my shows is going to be the 4th, the 14th, and the 24th of the month. Tonight I'm going to do this experiment to see how well this works and to do a few live matches for you guys. And if they're enticing and people are enjoying it, then we'll continue we'll reevaluate things maybe, and we'll be the alternative to the alternative wrestling as we planned, because I think we're the only ones who can at this point. So that should be interesting, to say the least. So that's the tag team tournament. Everyone did a great job, and also some other things that came out. Winning goes to show you the power of nothing better than a father-son duo. And considering the whole show began because of a father-son duo, it's kind of passing the torch, I suppose. And the other awesome thing was that it came down to a father and son team and two brothers team, going to show that family sometimes is the best family tag partners in life. And when you look at the amazing teams that went to the finals, that brotherhood is there, whether it be the F4L family that Punk and I have, or other teams like the Adels are actual brothers, the Stritzels are brothers, the Blood Brothers are obviously brothers, and when you have that kind of a dynamic, it makes it so much better, and you work so much better together in that aspect. Pro wrestling right now, in general, has got a lot going on for it. And I don't mean to, quickly move out of talking about my stall for a second, because I think we've talked about this plenty. But I think it's important. It would also be naive and foolish enough not to mention what's going on in pro wrestling right now. A lot of big things are going on. I'm not going to go talking about the negative things, because enough people do that a lot. But I do have two things I got to say. So Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Jean-Paul Levesque, who is, by the way, a graduate of my wrestling school, the Kowalski School of Wrestling. Shout out to him. Shout out to us. But anyway, Jean-Paul Levesque, who's in charge of everything now in WWE, since Vince McMahon, the person who most people would know of WWE, has retired and is no longer part of the company and whatnot due to various different things that are going on in a private matter that I'm not going to get into, because I don't think that's something that needs to be aired all over the place. Enough people know what's going on to just jump on the bandwagon and continue on. I think that's foolish and unnecessary. But what I do want to say is right now, what you're going to see over the next course of a couple weeks or a month or so is really Triple H's vision of what the WWE is going to be. There has been people who have been critical, and I guess I have to say that there's not a lot of the AEW stuff, the NXT stuff do I agree with. I do agree with some things of old school caliber. I do feel that there's a lot of propaganda going on versus talent, which is fine and dandy, but whatever the case may be. But here's the thing, and I know I'm going to be the guy, but I have to be the guy because someone has to be the voice. I'm not going to watch right now still, but my wife is, and I'm going to do some research. I'm going to continue to see whatever it is that the WWE is going to do. You know, having, you know, doing revolutionary things like, you know, elevating certain women into, you know, putting women in the focal point in wrestling is fine and dandy as long as you have the talented women to do that. But you have to make sure that when you're involved in these types of things, that you really elevate the right people and that you don't just do things out of spite because, Well, since Vince didn't like this, we're going to do the opposite. Maybe before you jump to that, figure out what it was that he didn't like before. And a lot of people can say, well, you know, he's outdated and this, that, and the other thing. He doesn't know talent and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And what you're going to see is Triple H's, you know, his NXT guys getting the pushes now. Now, does that mean that that's going to change all of the guys who Vince was very fond of? And is this going to be where Triple H is going to get his quote-unquote laugh on the people who Vince protected that Triple H maybe wasn't fond of? This is something maybe we should be aware of. You know, pro wrestling, and it happens sometimes in locker rooms where there's heat, as we call it. You know, I don't think there's any chance ever of the WWE ever getting CM Punk ever back. I know in wrestling they say never say never. Well, with Triple H in charge, that I can guarantee you is probably never going to happen that CM Punk is going to walk through the WWE again. Now let's talk real quick about this AEW stuff because I did want to mention something. So, as you guys know, the show that I use on YouTube, I use the WWE 2K series games. It's just I'm familiar with the concept of building characters and stages and titles and whatnot, and that's something I have a gift for, I guess. I don't think there's anything too special, but people like it, and people have jumped off on it. So I guess it's something a lot of people do tend to enjoy. But retrospect, to be honest, I would always welcome, you know, something new, a new fresh game platform. To if it could offer me something else to do than the usual WWE 2K stuff. If there was something, you know, can I build a better universe mode? Can I do something to make my life easier as a producer of this show on YouTube? Not so much for playing the game as much, but I got to tell you this. I do have to tell you guys that with this new game that just came out, it's the only game, and by orders of my wife, I was ordered to play the game ultimately outside of just building and work on the show. My wife made me play the game, literally, because she says I never actually play any of these games. And I have to say, I thank her for that because I'm not the greatest, I got to say. But there is a feature in the 2K22 game I do enjoy. And a lot of people are, you know, really don't like it as much, and that's the general manager mode. And the reason why a lot of people don't like it is they don't feel like there's a lot of choices of match types, or they feel they need another title. And I'm going to tell you why I don't think that's the case. One of the biggest issues in wrestling today, modern professional wrestling, any company you look at, there's way too many titles, way too many championships. And when you have people who have so many championships and you have enough people that can hold the title, what is there worth fighting for? What is the point? And now, I'm not saying it's not okay. I have a problem with a secondary title on a show. But listen, if you look at the WWE currently on their roster, what are their champions? There are champions after champions after champions, and they're all repeated on the other. Currently, right now, Roman Reigns is listed as both the WWE champion and the Universal champion, which means he's the champion of Raw and SmackDown. Here's what I say. One champion for both of those shows, and in fact, go down the road, all of that, have one immediate title, have one major title, and have one tag team title for the men, and the same thing goes for the women. One main females title, one main women's mid title, and then maybe, and this is probably going to upset people too, but when it comes to the tag team titles for women, for the WWE anyway, but also that could extend to AEW as well, I don't think that that is something that they should endure right now because they don't have the talent pool to do these that successfully. The men have a hard time running the tag team division. Okay, I've seen the reports and I've seen the last several cards I've seen for WWE, their pay-per-views. It's the same five or six tag teams going for the titles for the men. And the women, it's just like they just throw two women, random women together. That's not tag team wrestling. That's just kind of, we have nothing else for you, so we're just going to put you together and make you a team. That's not what tag team wrestling should be about. There should be a storyline behind that rather than just we have nothing else for you guys solely, so let's just put you together. But apparently they are going to be doing a tag team thing again. And apparently Triple H is going to be bringing back the two women who were the women's tag team champions, despite them walking out of the company because, quote, they didn't like the creative narrative where they were going. And that's fine and dandy if it wasn't for the fact that one of the women who walked out has walked out a couple times over her, you know, thinking that, you know, her being told to lose and she doesn't want to lose or, you know, this, that, the other thing, and she's not the nicest person to fans. I don't care what anybody tells you. And I'm not saying you have to stop and take pictures everywhere because I've already talked about before how there could be a misconception someone's having a rough day, and then there's a difference between that and what this woman does. She is not into fans. She will tell you that she's not into fans. She has insulted her fans. And these are the people that Triple H wants to bring back into the company. I want to make you guys aware of that. That's Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks has a history of not being very pleasant to people, no showing, going to conventions and not being very convention-like. Now, I do a lot of meet and greets, and I work at conventions, and I got to tell you, you can tell when someone wants to be there and someone who's just kind of there. And Sasha Banks is someone who is just there. She is billed to be from Boston, Massachusetts. And I got to say that she is not from Boston, Massachusetts. That is a fallacy. It is kayfabe. She was trained by someone in Boston. And to my knowledge, she kind of, you know, she just basically does nothing for him or anybody else that she has come across. That's not coming from someone from spite. I'm just talking to you guys reality of things. They had a documentary about Sasha when she went away before, how she needed a break. She was mentally breaking down. And, you know, all this stuff. And she's supposedly the cousin of Snoop Dogg, the rapper. I don't know how that relevancy comes into play. But here's what I can tell you. I would much rather see Snoop Dogg in the ring and doing something than Sasha Banks as a performer and as a person. I think what she did, what she does continuously, is rubs people the wrong way in the locker room, and then she has people who protect her, like a Triple H or a Stephanie or whatever, who are making sure, who will make sure that she doesn't have to worry about going anywhere, because that's one of their people. That's one of the Triple H's girls, just like Triple H, you know, Triple H has his guys, right? I think we're going to see over the next course of whatever on WWE's programming is a lot of the guys that Triple H has, you know, championed, a lot of the guys who Triple H has a lot of passion for, are going to start coming in and just having an amazing time all of a sudden. And all of a sudden, you're going to see guys like Finn Balor, Karrion Kross, guys that he's very high up on, getting that push that they maybe had not got before. But in all honesty, some of the guys that he wants to push, is it realistic that they're going up? And do they have the ability to hold the audience? I think that a couple times they've tried these things, it has failed. That's the reality. Roman Reigns is someone who Vince was high up on. I believe Triple H was also high up on. And Roman Reigns is someone who has held the title for a long period of time. And he wants to take time off, and he doesn't get to wrestle a lot. And he doesn't need to, ultimately. He's able to come and go and cut the promos. He's got Paul Heyman with him, and he's really done a great job with marketing himself. However, that's Vince. I want to let you guys know that's all Vince McMahon. Now, Triple H is taking all of that. We know that he's got a feud going with Drew McIntyre, who is not a Triple H guy. Drew McIntyre is another Vince guy. And so is Brock Lesnar, who is a Vince guy. And Roman Reigns, wouldn't you know, just beat Brock Lesnar officially. And this, again, and now he's supposed to face Drew McIntyre next for the 9 billionth time. And then Karrion Kross, who just returned, who was originally supposed to be part of something, some other wrestling show called Create Your Narrative. I guess he got smart enough to realize this is a bad idea. And he got out of that and he went back to WWE when Triple H called him up. And the other thing is, I know a fellow podcaster and one of my wrestling buddies who I worked with on the creative team in WWE, you whether he remembers me or not, Freddie Prinze Jr., goes to show you he has a knack for talent, because turns out he, you know, he also was pretty high up on Karrion Kross, and he's a smart guy because Karrion Kross is a real deal. He is somebody you can do a lot with. I said that before, and I'm going to say that again. Karrion Kross could be, you know, something like no one's ever seen before if he's pushed the correct way. Before, he was not. They brought him up before, and they made him like a demolition cosplayer kind of a thing, and it was terrible. Karrion Kross is a legit tough guy, a legit badass, and someone who should be celebrated. And I actually would be interested to see what would happen with him and a Roman Reigns, because I think this would be one of those cases where the Usos, which have been someone who has helped Roman Reigns. And that's something also that needs to be said, that Roman's held this title for as long as he does. He's taking all this credit, great, but he's not doing it on his own, and he's got all this help. I heard a promo that Drew McIntyre had cut, and he had said to Roman Reigns that, you know, he has always needed the Usos to help him and the wise man to help him, and everyone else needs to help him to beat Brock Lesnar. And it was actually Drew alone who defeated Brock Lesnar when it came down to it. And he is 100% correct. And I want to take you guys back to when Roman finally beat Brock Lesnar. It was because he got help originally from Paul Heyman. And when he became champion, he did that again with the help of Paul Heyman and the Usos, whatnot. So there could be very well some validity behind Drew McIntyre's statement. Roman Reigns is holding a title, and he's doing a great job as far as promos go and looking like a champion, acting like a champion, the heel champion he is. But on the same sense, eventually that's going to start wearing off. It gets old after a while when you see the same champion over and over again. See, back in the a lot of people don't remember, but back in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, a lot of champions held titles a long period of time. Back in the territory days, it was very common for people to hold a title for years. And people in WWE, that was the same thing there. People like Bruno Sammartino held the title for a long period of time. Bob Backlund held the title for many years. And then, you know, then it would transition into Hulkamania. Think of how long Hulk Hogan held the title for before the Ultimate Warrior defeated him for it. And then the Macho Man, and then whatever. And, you know, you got to see, these are the things that people forget about the title being, you know, people who are used to seeing a pay-per-view every single month, every 2 months, every 2 weeks. That wasn't the case back in the day. WWE, for example, WF back then, they had four major pay-per-views a year. So what they would do is they would build towards those each of those four pay-per-views with the champions, which is why all the champions were involved on the shows. And again, the other part was they didn't have so many championships. WWE has always had a world champion of some kind, an intercontinental champion, and they've had a tag team champion, a women's champion, and also then they integrated a European championship, and then it just started getting. But then the attitude era, they started, you know, adding more titles, and then WCW closed, and Vince McMahon bought WCW all their titles and their properties, which is where you get the United States title, World Championship, you know, the various other titles they got from that acquirement. The ECW title, because, you know, Vince McMahon bought ECW. The ECW title is another. And then they decided to the brand split between Raw and SmackDown. So now you have a champion on Raw and a champion on SmackDown. So now, you know, so if you'll notice on my shows on YouTube, I have tried to keep one title per show, per thing. But again, that does make it difficult when you want to have them on one specific brand. But what if I was to do one main champion? Because I think that less is more. I think it's more important to have one major title. You can have one intermediate title. When I say an intermediate title, I mean like a secondary title, a title to get you ready to be champion. And then you need a tag team champion. I think ultimately that's what you should be going for. And then people working to get those titles, because that's ultimately what you want. Right now, currently, we have four shows scheduled. We have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Mondays, we have the Rocking Icon Champion, the Rocking Tag Team Champion, and then the Women's Rocking Champion, right? That's on Monday night. Tuesdays, we have the Telenet Singles Champion for the Dream Masters. That's the guys. We have the Women Warriors Wrestling's Telenet Champion, which is the women's version of the male title, which is the Duchess Lana King. The Dream Masters telling that singles champion, by the way, is still my former co-host, JoJo the Model Sebastian. Shout out to him. I hope he's doing well. And I'm going to be reaching out to him soon, too, to find out how he's doing, because I know that he's going to be back to school and stuff. Go check in and make sure he's doing okay. Anywho, Going forward, you know, there was that. And then we have the Telenet Tag Team Champions, which is the television tag team champions for Tuesday. Rocking Tag Team Champions, by the way, are the lucky ones on Monday. The Rocking Icon Champion right now is Ivan the Dolphin Shark. And the Women's Rocking Champion is Kung Pao Rina. On Tuesdays, the champions are JoJo, the Model Sebastian, the Duchess Lana King, which is a Women's Warriors Wrestling Telenet Champion, the Telenet Tag Team Champions, which is Henry and Hiram Menya, the Menya Boys. And then the secondary title on Tuesday nights, which a lot of people don't even know is there, is the MMA Grand Prix Championship, which is held by Leo the Bull Curtis. And that's the MMA division, which is over there on Tuesdays. Then on Wednesdays, we have the United States Championship, which is held by currently JoJo the Bodybuilder. We already know that on the 24th, we had a watch along, and we know that Jaden Brooks is the number one contender for that title. On the 24th of August, he's going to get his opportunity to go one-on-one with JoJo the Bodybuilder to see if he can get his United States title back. But the United States Tag Team Champions are the Blood Brothers, Damian Payne and Philip Awesome. The Women's United States Champion is Summer Payne, my lovely daughter. And again, they won these all by themselves. We don't have any controls over who wins and loses. And then, of course, the secondary title is the European Championship, which is held by number 13, our friend from Russia, Yevgeny Verkhovets. And then on Friday, you have the BA Championship held by the dominant Jackson R. Scott. We have the Women's BA Champion, which is Luscious Lillian Stevens White, my mother. Then you have the BA Tag Team Champion, which is currently the Schritzel Fight Club. And on the 24th of August, they were going to defend the titles against the former Tag Team Champs who never got a rematch, the Adels. And get this. Because of these young men and the legacy these two teams have, and because of how iconic they both are and how important this is for both, that tag team title match is going to be an Iron Man tag team title rules match. So it means whoever gets the most pinfalls and submissions within an allotted time will become the BA tag team champions between the Adels and the Stritzels. That is going to be a great main event on the 24th of July of August. In addition, we have the Women's Tag Team Champions, which is the Squared Circle Cafe. So you see, we have all kinds of champions on our show too. But they're separated because they don't really intertwine with each other. The only time they would really intertwine is when we have like a when we have a Case of Fate match, which is when we have people from various different things go in for the Case of Fate so they can cash it in on one of the champions. And then the other is the Random Melee Palooza, which is in January. That's our first big show of the year, by the way, is the Random Melee Palooza. 2023 will be the next one. But that's when we take everybody, and whoever wins that will get an opportunity at any championship they choose in another time. So that's something iconic right there. The other thing is, the other things to look forward to on the YouTube show coming up as far as events go is our annual Team Warfare match, which is in November. That's kind of our version of Survivor Series, and that's going to be interesting to see who's going to be with who. And I'm very excited because, you guys remember our guest last week, Walker Campbell. I am very excited to announce that Walker Campbell will be making his in-ring wrestling debut on Dream Masters on August 24th in a major way. So stick around to watch for that. So I'm going to be cutting down short here, and we're going to be wrapping up here on the show right now because, this is a short show. I just kind of wanted to give you guys a little taste and a little review and a preview of what's coming. my wife and I have moved finally physically, and we are doing, we're kind of adapting still. I want to thank our neighbors for all their patience and all our friends and family who have supported us over the last 2 years that this has taken this long to move. I want to thank everyone for their tireless efforts on helping us and sticking by us. To everyone out there who has thought about us and kept us in our prayers, we thank you. And to my kids and to my wife, I love you guys more than ever. And then always, I love you guys, are always the reason I do everything I do. To my fans worldwide, I love you guys also. And if you guys want to reach me on my Instagram, it's www.dreammatches, DREAMMATCHES at gmail.com. That is where you'll find my email. You can find me on Instagram at FRLIcon, SEANJAZZSTEVENS on Instagram. It's SEANJAZZSTEVENS on Twitter. And the Jazz and his friends and his icons of the F4L on YouTube. And everyone, wherever you are, whatever you do, may all your dreams come true. I'm the F4L icon saying peace, everyone. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow.